Welcome back to the JX. I'm Mike Green. Oregon is timber country, and there's always been a tension between the economics of clearing lands for profit and the negative impact caused to the environment. The Bureau of Land Management's Last Chance project is the latest example. Joining me on the JX to discuss concerns about the project is George Sexton of KS Wild. Welcome, George.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing well. And John Purcell, an attorney with Oregon Wild. Welcome, John.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
We invite our audience to join the conversation by email, jx@jeffnet.org. George, let's start with you. Can you give us some insights about your organization? Tell us about KS Wild.
Sure thing. KS Wild is a Rogue Valley-based conservation organization that works for healthy forests and healthy watersheds. And so this Last Chance project really jumped out at us because it's a large-scale old-growth timber sale that's going to increase fire hazard and decrease forest health. So it's right in our wheelhouse of, you know, something that we would want to work on to try and make better.
Gotcha. And John, you're an attorney for Oregon Wild. Talk about that organization and its mission.
Yeah, Oregon Wild is a statewide group with a mission to protect and restore Oregon's wildlands, wildlife, and waters. And we have been working closely with George and others at KS Wild on a number of these large BLM logging projects that we're seeing coming out of the BLM Medford District.
So, George, what is this Last Chance project? Can you describe it?
Yes. It's located in the headwaters of Grave Creek, which is just east of the community of Wolf Creek, very near to the I-5 corridor. And that land ownership pattern, there is a checkerboard between BLM forests owned by the public and then private industrial timberlands. And all of the private industrial timberlands in that checkerboard have been clear cut and converted into timber plantations, which tend to carry fire. And then a little over half of the BLM public forests have also been converted from native forests into timber plantations. So only about a quarter of that landscape remains as native forests. And the Last Chance timber sale would target that quarter, that, you know, the 25% or so that remains native forest. And what's particularly frustrating about that is that those native forests are the most fire resilient stands that we have left on that landscape. And those timber plantations tend to burn at a higher severity and to create risks for the wildland-urban interface. So we're hoping to hang on to those native stands and move the management into the younger stands.
So why are they having a timber sale?
The BLM has what they call an annual sale quantity, which is they're assigned a timber target. And they also have several land use allocations, one of which is the harvest land base. And so in the harvest land base, the BLM focuses on timber production, whether or not it is good for forest resiliency or the nearby communities or fire hazard.
Well, you mentioned timber plantations a couple of times. Can you describe what that means?
Yeah. That's when you take a native forest stand that has larger diameter trees and a multi-level canopy, and you remove those structural elements and you replace it with an even age young stand. And by reducing the diameter of the trees and lowering the canopy of the trees, it makes it harder for a fire to go through that stand without immolating all of the vegetation and accelerating the speed and severity of the fire. And so most forest ecologists and most fire ecologists say we want to preserve those late successional and old growth trees and forest stands and do the thinning operations in the prescribed fire and the forest restoration where it'll do the most good, which is in those younger second growth stands.
So, John, what are your concerns?
Well, one thing that, we've been noticing with the Last Chance project and other BLM sales is that the agency's really made a concerted effort over the last few years to push the limits of what its own management plan language allows on these public lands, and at the same time, push the limits of just how little site-specific analysis it can undertake and provide to the public and still pass legal muster. And, you know, we've seen our federal court slap down a number of BLM decisions where the agency has really dug in its heels on avoiding that site-specific analysis, and where the BLM has leaned on its really broad analysis that it did for all 2.9 million acres of Western Oregon BLM lands over 8 years ago now. And, you know, notably in this Last Chance environmental assessment, the BLM has completely ignored President Biden's Earth Day 2022 executive order directing both the BLM and the Forest Service to conserve mature and old growth forests for biodiversity and as natural climate solutions, since they store immense amounts of carbon from the atmosphere. We've also seen the BLM completely ignore its own new conservation rule that directs the agency to factor in habitat intactness and old growth as part of ecosystem resilience considerations. That's just completely missing in the analysis that the agency has presented to the public right now.
So what's motivating BLM to sell this timber?
Well, as George pointed out, the BLM has designated a lot of these lands as harvest land base and points to a statute from 1937 called the O&C Act that does direct the agency to produce timber from these lands. But we've also seen two appellate courts now tell the BLM that it has ample discretion to factor genuine conservation into the management of these O&C lands while still producing timber. It doesn't have to be one or the other. The agency just needs to step up and catch up to society's current needs and values in the face of the biodiversity and climate crises.
I'm talking with George Sexton of KS Wild and John Purcell of Oregon Wild about the BLM's Last Chance project. You can join the conversation by email, jx@jeffnet.org. We're also going to be talking with representatives from the timber industry next week. So, John, what do you envision as the equilibrium between the economic opportunity that Oregon timber represents and the environmental stewardship that raises concerns?
Well, ultimately, we need management approaches that match the magnitude of, the biodiversity and climate crises. And harvesting our public forests as rotation crops, which, as George explained, they do when they convert these late successional forests to plantations, that's counterproductive to reducing fire hazards, protecting communities, and giving threatened species a real shot at survival. Ultimately there needs to be a culture shift within the agency, toward genuine conservation as a focus, even on, harvest land-based lands.
So, George, what species are being threatened, and what's your vision for the future of Oregon's environment?
Well, the Last Chance timber sale area has critical habitat for coho salmon. It also provides steelhead habitat. There are northern spotted owls located in the project area and having home ranges within some of the timber sale units. And I think a way of accommodating those species and having an eye out for fire hazard would be for the BLM to take a page out of their neighbor's book in the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest. They manage adjacent federal public forest lands. And the Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest has largely turned a corner where the timber that they produce is a byproduct of restoration activities. And it's sustainable, it's predictable, and it's in a small to mid diameter class, which our local mills love. And so the Murphy Company and Boise Cascade often bid up those Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest timber sales. And that's a very different paradigm than the BLM's timber first, second, and third paradigm. And so I think the model for success is out there. The Rogue River Siskiyou National Forest is currently planning the Snowy Butte timber sale in Medford's municipal watershed. And I think that project is going to have a suite of restoration activities that will include forestry and timber production. And that's the way to do balanced forest and public lands management. With the BLM, the Medford District in particular, timber volume is the primary driver. And so carbon storage, wildlife habitat, fire resiliency are all in the back seat while timber drives the car.
So this timber sale is near the city of Grants Pass, is it not?
It's closer to Wolf Creek.
Closer to Wolf Creek.
Yeah.
And what did they say about it?
The people who would be impacted with the logging at Wolf Creek.
The residents and the city of Wolf Creek.
Mm-hmm. There are several adjacent landowners who have contacted KS Wild and asked us to help with an eye towards both fire resiliency and water quality. Those seem to be the two primary concerns. I think that, you know, being the heart of fire season right now, everyone has fire and fuels and fire behavior, you know, at the forefront. And because that's what I'm hearing from the people who would be most directly affected by the timber sale, that's what I'm going to focus on. In contrast, unfortunately, I think the BLM is just going to continue to focus on timber production.
Well, if you could wave a magic wand and instruct the BLM how to handle this last chance project, what would you advise them to do?
Well, we did recently have some success with the Butte Falls resource area of the Medford District in that many landowners were trying to work in concert to reduce fire hazard in the wildland-urban interface zone for the town of Butte Falls. The town itself, the Forest Service, several private landowners, and then the BLM there planned a timber sale called South Clark, which would have included a lot of regeneration harvest in the WUI, which would have increased fire hazard. So sort of undermining the efforts of the other land managers to reduce fire hazard in that wildland urban interface. After everyone weighed in, the BLM said, yeah, you know, maybe that's not the best idea given that we just had the open chain fire and all the other threats to Butte Falls from both lightning and human caused ignitions. And the BLM made the right decision and said, we're going to forego those logging techniques that increase fire hazard. They could do the same thing at last chance, but I think that that's extraordinarily unlikely. Again, because the BLM has assigned itself an arbitrary annual sale quantity, and they see the conversion of these native stands into timber production as the way to meet the timber target that they have set for themselves.
So, John, very quickly, what are Oregon Wild's plans to address the Last Chance Project?
Oregon Wild has joined with KS Wild and other groups to submit comments on this project, and we've really pushed the BLM, if it's going to propose this level of aggressive logging that's going to increase fire hazards, that's going to remove 3,400 acres of spotted owl habitat and all these other impacts, that it needs to undertake a much more thorough analysis through an environmental impact statement rather than a cursory environmental assessment, which it's done now.
Okay,
so we're going to continue to hold the agency accountable.
All right. We've run out of time, and I want to thank my guests, George Sexton of KS Wild and John Purcell of Oregon Wild. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it for today's JX segments. JeffExchange.org is our website where you can find these conversations and more, or you can subscribe to our shows wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Mike Green. Angela Decker is our senior producer, and Zach Beagle is engineering our show today. Our theme music is composed by Maxwell and Terry Longshore. Thanks for joining us, and have a nice day.